God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. So the dictator of Syria is out, has fled the country. He's a guy who used chemical weapons on enemies, on civilians, not a good guy. He was the son of a dictator, and now he has fled and is in hiding. President Trump has responded to this. In Truth Social, he wrote, "Assad is gone. He's fled his country. His protector, Russia, led by Vladimir Putin, was not interested in protecting him any longer. There was no reason for Russia to be there in the first place. They lost all interest in Syria because of Ukraine, where close to 600,000 soldiers lay wounded or dead in a war that should never have started and could go on forever. Russia and Iran are in a weakened state right now. One because of Ukraine and a bad economy, the other because of Israel and its fighting success," President Trump continued. "Likewise, Zelensky and Ukraine would like to make a deal and stop the madness. They've ridiculously lost 400,000 soldiers and many more civilians. There should be an immediate ceasefire and negotiations should begin." And he added, "Too many lives are being so needlessly wasted, too many families destroyed, and if it keeps going, it can turn into something much bigger and far worse. I know Vladimir well. This is his time to act. China can help. The world is waiting." Vladimir Putin, Trump says he knows him well. Interesting. He is a guy who is unpredictable in terms of foreign policy, and this is why I think so many of these moves are happening so quickly, because there is a new boss in town. Watching President Trump meet with world leaders over the weekend, you perhaps saw them rush to embrace him and to walk behind him in lines, in photo ops, at every turn. I think the world knows they need a United States leader. There's not been one for the past 4 years. The world leaders absolutely know that Joe Biden is running nothing. They've watched him in photo opportunities where he has to be steered around like a little boy. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm trying to be descriptive. Joe Biden is steered around like a little boy at these events. President Trump is not that. For all the reasons people have to dislike President Trump, and they're various and they are many, he is a guy who commands a leadership presence. General Michael Flynn, talking about this event in Syria, wrote, "A new Middle East is taking shape, and now rapidly. Borders have to be respected. Terrorism has to be rejected. Let's see what happens to Syria," which he puts in quote marks, "a concoction of potentates created post-World War I by its victors. There are leaders on the ground who will rise up. Will they seek to join the community of nations, or will, quote, Syria fall into further collapse? Don't forget about what's happening currently in Eastern Europe. These things are all connected. More updates to follow." Later this week, I hope to have my friend Michael Rourke on. He's a retired special forces operative who gets people in and out of countries like this. He's an international security consultant. There's a lot to talk with him about this week. What I do want to concentrate on is not us. No, I mean, I know that sounds very selfish, but it's not us. Praise God, we're not in that. It's very, very easy to look at the United States and see it not just in a state of disrepair, it is. We're under spiritual attack, but we're not yet in a war like that. We're not yet watching regime change at the end of guns. Nor are we hearing rumors like this. These are rumors from accounts I follow in the Middle East. These are Muslims writing. Former commander of Al-Qaeda and ISIS, Abu Muhammad al-Jolani, is the new leader of Syria. That's one report. Another one names a terrorist group as having taken over, a different one. So there's a ton of rumors coming out of the Middle East. But let's keep in mind, we don't have to have these rumors. Not here, praise God, not yet. We have President Trump, who, God willing, will make it into office, and for all the reasons people have to dislike him, as I just said, they are various and they are many. He at least is bringing into this an agenda At least on the foreign policy front, Trump's agenda seems to be clear. He wants these wars to end. Isn't it fascinating to become the anti-war party? That's what Republicans have become. How did that happen? I think it's an act of God. I think the Democrats have become so ungodly that why wouldn't they embrace endless wars? Why wouldn't they? Everything else they do stands adverse to the Word of God in every way, every shape, every matter, every form. I mean, you could say their tax policy doesn't stand opposed to God. Really? What exactly are reparations? It is coveting encoded into law. It is stealing. It is taking from people who never held slaves and giving to people who never were slaves. There isn't a policy you can find on the Democrat side that doesn't stand adverse to the Word of God. So it makes sense to me that they would embrace war at all costs, just as they embrace abortion at all costs. There's Republicans who do. There's some Senate Republicans who said they will not vote for any Trump nominee who is not 100% in support of more money going to Ukraine. I do think it's an act of God that the Republicans are accidentally becoming the anti-war party, even though there are some stragglers who want Ukraine's spending to continue. So why? In my judgment, it's the lobbyists. I think it's the lobbyists who are really pushing the anti-Pete Hegseth movement, and they're pushing and pushing and pushing senators they bought and purchased for good money to fight against them. I think God is peeling back the curtain of Washington, D.C. I think he did this through President Trump, and we can continue to see behind that curtain. Ukraine is lost. Even the New York Times admits it. And yet, in an ungodly sense, they're still pushing. Last week, our Secretary of State for a few more weeks, the beleaguered and utterly corrupt Tony Blinken, said the key to victory in Ukraine is, are you ready for this? Getting teenagers into the army. He wants Ukraine's teenage boys, presumably boys, taken in to the fighting. 400,000 to 600,000 people lost, and now let's turn to the teenagers. I do think it's an act of God that the curtain is being peeled back. There's a lot going on, and God is at work in ways that aren't getting enough reporting. The New York Post had a fascinating article about young men who are leaving, well, you could say the world. They're leaving traditional churches for what they consider more masculine, orthodox Christianity, and they say it's happening in droves, from the article. Ben Christensen was raised Anglican, church every Sunday, a religious school, and a Christian camp every summer. But Christensen, 27, of Fairfax, Virginia, has always found himself longing for a more traditional faith. The hard thing about growing up in my church is that there was a lot of change, even in my lifetime, he told the Post. I realized there was really no way to stop the change. He watched as traditions went by the wayside. The robe choir was swapped out for worship bands, lines were blurred on female ordination, and a long-held stances on LGBT so-called T issues shifted. All that stuff was basically fungible, which gave me a sense that the theological commitments are kind of fungible too, he said. It's a good point. If you're going to change to be like the world, why bother having a church? So Christensen began exploring other denominations in college and landed on perhaps the most traditional of all, Orthodox Christianity. In 2022, at the age of 25, he converted. And this is happening in big numbers. And we could say it's just about masculinity, sure. It is, to some degree, for some of these men. It's about something else, though. The Anglican Church isn't Christ's church. It has forfeited that. It has very little in common with Christ's church, and it is only the church of Jesus Christ against which the gates of Hades will not prevail. Jesus did not say, buildings that say church on them will prevail against the gates of Hades. He said, it is against my church the gates of Hades will not prevail. I believe young men are being called home by God. Now, if we are theologically solid Christians, of course that's the case. God the Father calling them to traditional churches. In other words, churches that follow Jesus. A survey of Orthodox churches around the country found that parishes saw a 78% increase in converts in 2022 compared with pre-pandemic levels of 2019. And while historically men and women converted in equal numbers, vastly more men have joined the church since 2020. Makes sense. Men are called to be the spiritual leaders in their homes. If they're not being led, how then do they lead? Men and women alike have in their hearts, in our hearts, a need for God's word, a need for it to be truly and completely practiced, and the church is being captured. This is from an actual church service. A young boy brought up front to the so-called pastor, and the so-called pastor is celebrating the young boy who's dressed in a dress, celebrating with a baptism of glitter.
Just add glitter. Yes. A dusting here or a touch there, a pinch there. Glitter, glitter. Anywhere. Everywhere. Are your congregants asking for glitz? Looking for some flashy bits? Time for putting on the Ritz? Just add glitter.
The so-called pastor affirms that the boy is a girl. As the boy stands there dressed in a dress, he's probably 7 or 8 years old. He then gets to baptize the congregation with glitter. In every possible capacity, these leftist churches, these pride-based churches, these so-called transgender churches are mocking the gospel in everything. And the Democrat Party loves them and promotes them. So does Hollywood. So, of course, there's a pushback. And there is a pretty massive pushback happening legally. A young girl who was 12, a young girl who had suffered sexual assault on behalf of family members, or by family members, by people she didn't know, multiple times sexually harmed, has gone to court. She's suing one of the most notorious gender jackers in the world. That's what I call so-called doctors who specialize in taking young girls and young boys and chopping their bodies up with wrong sex hormones and wrong sex surgery. Dr. Johanna Olson Kennedy is being sued, and the lawsuit details or something to behold. I'll give you some of those. Here is the so-called doctor talking about mastectomies for healthy teen girls.
Well, I'm just going to say this, that actually people get married when they're under 20. Actually, people choose colleges to go to. Actually, people make life-altering decisions in adolescence. All the time. All the time. And honestly, most of them are good. It's just the bad ones that we talk about. Oh my God, the cinnamon challenge, right? I mean, why do we know about it? Because it's a thing, and it's not common. Like, most teenagers aren't eating cinnamon, right? But some are, and they're on YouTube, and that's stupid. But we don't put on YouTube the things that are really good decisions, right? Oh my gosh, my kid took the SATs. Not a very exciting after-school special. Right? But so what we do know is that adolescents actually have the capacity to make a reasoned, logical decision. And here's the other thing about chest surgery. If you want breasts at a later point in your life, you can go and get them.
Did you hear that last bit? That's a doctor pretending that breasts are balloons filled with saline. That's not what breasts are. The miraculous organs that allow a mother to feed a baby, and not just feed the baby, to connect in unbelievably important ways, both biologically, spiritually, and personally. Those breasts pass on immunities to disease. She knows this, but she doesn't care. When we come back, you'll hear one of the first times this woman who is suing this gender jacker spoke in public. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There's a groundbreaking, in some ways, lawsuit. It's not groundbreaking worldwide, because worldwide gender jackers who steal kids' bodies are being sued. This practice has effectively been shut down in England, where it began at the unbelievably evil Tavistock Center. It's been shut down in Netherlands, other countries, only really Canada and the United States continue to push this form of insane medical abuse, which is tied inexorably to an anti-God movement. And I can detail this very, very easily. Kids who are drawn into this are often told they're going to be reborn a new being, made in a new image, their image. And the parallels are incredible. There are baptismal type events where kids are reborn with their new name. After they get cut up, their bodies are compared to the scars of Jesus Christ. This is not an occasional thing. It happens in mass. Now, not every kid who falls into this walks that particular path, but every kid who falls into this is, well, let me be just very, very blunt. Every kid like this is fresh meat for so-called doctors like Johanna Olson Kennedy. She leads the Center for So-Called Trans Youth at Los Angeles Children's Hospital. She's being sued by a young woman named Clementine. Clementine was 12 when she made the mistake of going to this doctor, and her parents made the mistake of believing this doctor. She was 12 and had suffered unspeakable abuse, sexual abuse. She had a whole series of comorbid conditions, including hallucinations, psychoses, depression, anxiety, hatred of herself. I want to remind you the point of view of the so-called doctor. We played this in the last segment, if you missed it. This is Dr. Johanna Olson Kennedy explaining why it's okay to cut off the working, healthy breasts of young teen girls. Listen to her flippant remarks. It's about a minute long. Listen right up to the end, where she pretends that breasts are balloons filled with saline solution.
Well, I'm just going to say this, that actually people get married when they're under 20. Actually, people choose colleges to go to. Actually, people make life-altering decisions in adolescence. All the time. And honestly, most of them are good. It's just the bad ones that we talk about. Oh my God, the cinnamon challenge, right? I mean, why do we know about it? Because it's a thing, and it's not common. Like, most teenagers aren't eating cinnamon, right? But some are, and they're on YouTube, and that's stupid. But we don't put on YouTube the things that are really good decisions, right? Oh my gosh, my kid took the SATs. Not a very exciting after-school special, right? But so what we do know is that adolescents actually have the capacity to make a reasoned, logical decision. And here's the other thing about chest surgery. If you want breasts at a later point in your life, you can go and get them.
No, you cannot. She's a liar. You cannot have mammaries. You can have balloons. Ask any woman who's had to have her actual breasts removed and replaced with artificial breasts. They may look like breasts, but they don't function the same. The miracle of God's design. From the lawsuit Clementine's lawyers filed, Dr. Olson Kennedy and the team at LA Children's immediately and unquestionably affirmed Clementine as so-called transgender. And at her very first visit, after mere minutes, Dr. Olson Kennedy diagnosed Clementine with gender dysphoria and recommended surgical implantation of puberty blockers. Dr. Olson Kennedy performed no mental health assessment. She did not ask about things like past trauma, abuse, or mental health struggles or diagnoses. She involved no other providers or healthcare professionals in this purported gender dysphoria diagnosis and recommendations for puberty blockers. Instead, she simply took a handful of platitudinal statements from a scared, confused, traumatized, barely 12-year-old girl to give life-altering diagnosis and handed her the prescription pad. In short, it took Dr. Olson Kennedy and the team at LA Children's a single visit to send Clementine down a life-altering, traumatic, body-disfiguring, irreversibly damaging path of so-called transgender medicalization. And her conditions and what she had suffered are unspeakable. Literally unspeakable, other than to say she was raped. I cannot go into detail on this radio network. By her sixth visit on September 5, 2018, Clementine had very little breast development, the product of puberty blockers, which remained implanted in her arm and after 16 months. Dr. Olson Kennedy noted that Clementine had noticeably more body hair. Her voice had gone down, and libido is substantial. Her libido is substantial. She's 13. She additionally noted that Clementine had genital changes, including growth of clitoral tissue and dryness as a result of the blocker and no circulating estradiol. So-called Dr. Olson Kennedy also recommended that she get a double mastectomy. Just as she'd misled and coerced Clementine and her parents to start testosterone, Dr. Olson Kennedy again misled them by emphasizing the supposed importance of getting such a radical procedure early. She represented that if Clementine got a double mastectomy at an early age, the healing process would be easier. And then if she waited any longer, it would be impossible to do it right. That is, if she wanted a so-called natural and so-called cis male-looking chest, they had to do it right now. Dr. Olson Kennedy noted that she would refer for surgery in 4 to 6 weeks. Clementine was still only 13 years old. And she's being sued. This woman should be sued for assault. That's difficult to do with doctors. You can sue them for civil assault. It actually can and is being done in some of the COVID abuse cases. Gentleman you've heard on this program, I've had on my podcast multiple times, is named Billboard Chris. He goes about the world holding signs up that say children cannot consent to puberty blockers. He's been assaulted. He had his arm fractured by a man pretending to be a woman. He had his nose nearly broken by a man pretending to be a woman. He's being sued in Australia for multi-million dollars. Billboard Chris was doing what he does, standing around with his billboards at a college campus when young Clementine approached him.
Yeah, come on in.
My name's Clementine.
What's your name?
My name's Clementine.
Nice to meet you.
I've actually seen your stuff online, and yeah. I'm a huge fan. I was on puberty blockers. I started when I was 12, and I was on testosterone from 14 to 17, and I got top surgery at 17. Totally messed my life up. So I just want to say you're doing a good thing.
Wow.
I can't believe people disagree with you on this. As a former child transitioner, I'm just appalled that people have anything to question you about. So I support
you. I'm so sorry you had to go through all that. I'm glad you are through it now. Thank you so much for speaking up. That's extremely valuable because a lot of people are afraid to.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we have a little conversation about it?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, come on in this way just a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hi.
So, your name again?
My name's Clementine.
Clementine. So, Clementine went on puberty blockers at what age?
12.
And you detransitioned at?
I detransitioned earlier this year, actually, but I had been going off testosterone since about 17. Because it gave me psychosis.
When did they put you on testosterone?
I was 13.
Wow. And when did you have a double mastectomy?
I had a double mastectomy at 14. I'm currently going through the process of getting reconstructive surgery, and it was harder to get that approved. I actually wasn't able to get it approved by my insurance.
Right.
But it was much harder to get surgery for that than it was to actually get the original top surgery procedure.
Easier. None of this should be easy for kids. It's made easy because of money. Any children's hospital that has a gender clinic in it is fallen, and you should never take kids there, ever. They have a cancer clinic that's world-renowned. If you are forced to take your kid there, I would never leave their side. I would never let a children's hospital therapist near them for any reason ever. I would never leave their side because they're voracious and ferocious. So Clementine comes upon Billboard Chris holding his billboards. Children cannot consent to puberty blockers. She begins this conversation. Billboard Chris asked Clementine if she had pursued litigation. Listen here to her response.
For everyone watching this who says this isn't happening, well, it happened to Clementine. At 14, a double mastectomy, puberty blockers at 12, testosterone at 13. How old are you now?
I'm 20 now. I just turned 20.
Have you ever talked to anyone about suing?
I can't disclose what's going on, but yeah, it's...
Okay, because I'm here to help you find someone if you need someone.
Yeah, I've spoken... Do you know Campbell Miller Payne?
I do.
I've talked to them a bunch.
Fantastic. So Campbell Miller Payne is a law firm for dads in Texas who all left their previous law firms and started a new one just to sue for kids and young people like Clementine who've been harmed by this madness. And these are great guys. They could have done anything to make a bunch of money, but they started a law firm. They left all their previous firms. They have 18 kids between them. And they're going to cause a lot of waves.
And they're causing some. Because so-called Dr. Joanna Olson Kennedy is one of the premier gender jackers in the country. I regard her as cold-hearted and a woman through whom great, unfathomable levels of evil have been undertaken. It's not just the so-called doctor Clementine is suing. She's suing the organizations. She's suing some of the support organizations. Clementine talked to Billboard Chris about how she was egged on by school counselors to reject her womanhood.
So what got you into this in the first place?
I was sexually abused as a child, and that was totally ignored. But I started having a lot of negative feelings about my body around puberty, and... I was egged on by some guidance counselors that I might be transgender, and I later decided that I was really a boy and my life would be so much easier because of all this abuse that I had experienced because of being a woman, and I totally just rejected womanhood because I thought that all that it meant for me was pain. That's kind of how I got there, but getting out of it, getting out of it was a really difficult process for me, but... Mostly it was just getting the right therapy. I went to DBT therapy and we never discussed my gender. We only discussed my sexual abuse. And after I dealt with that, I realized I didn't want to do this anymore. And the loss of my fertility and my body just started to really sink in. And I realized like, oh my God, I built this entire persona around misogyny.
She did build a persona. And Dr. Olson Kennedy, when that woman was 12, took a persona, a personality that changes with young girls, and she trapped her in that body. Brutal. Clementine shared that in the first 30 minutes of her appointment with so-called Dr. Olson Kennedy, she was given access to puberty blockers. I just read this out of the lawsuit. Here is Clementine speaking live time about it with Billboard Chris.
Before you started on the puberty blockers, you've just shared with me this sexual abuse that happened to you before you started on those.
Yeah.
Did anyone ask you about that?
No, not was that brought up once during the meeting. I was only asked, do I like hanging out with boys? Do I get fit in better with boys? What kind of things am I into? Just really surface level questions. And I was prescribed puberty blockers 30 minutes into my appointment after being out for 4 months.
First appointment?
Yes.
With...
Dr. Joanna Olson Kennedy at Los Angeles Children's Hospital.
She should be infamous to everybody. That children's hospital should be shut down. Everyone connected with the gender clinic should be investigated for criminal assault and for misrepresenting, lying, and at least civil assault on the bodies of these children. The award... to Clementine, if one comes from the jury, should be enough to shut down every attempt to continue to do this with children, or rather to them. Billboard Chris asked Clementine, who's suing the gender-jacking so-called Dr. Joanna Olson Kennedy, he talked with her about that woman and what she's done for the movement.
Joanna Olson Kennedy. I've talked a lot about her, and I'm going to put more about her underneath this video. She's running the busiest gender clinic in the country at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. She received a grant from the NIH a few years ago for $5.7 million. And part of that grant application, she asked for approval to give opposite sex hormones to kids as young as 8 years old.
Yeah,
she is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, gender ghoul in the United States of America. Did she talk to your parents?
She did, and she told them the same thing that she tells everybody, that I was deeply suicidal and that if they didn't let me transition, I would be at high risk for suicide. And I only attempted to kill myself after I transitioned.
So she convinced them that they had two options, a dead daughter or a live son.
Yes.
Did she even use those words?
She did use those exact words.
Wow. Give me a hug.
Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you for talking to me.
Have a great rest of your day.
All right. God bless you. I'll see you later.
Bilbo Crist is making a difference. Why did he do that? Because he's a dad. That's why. I've talked with him many, many times about this. He left a career in finance to go around the world doing this. He's supported by donations, period. That's how Billboard Chris exists. When Clementine approached Billboard Chris and began to tell her story, I hear in it the story of thousands and tens of thousands of girls. But I also hear in it something else, a pattern, that you have a choice. You can have a living son or a dead daughter. That's not a mistake that it came out of the mouth of so-called Dr. Joanna Olsen Kennedy. It comes out of the lie holes of every gender doctor at one time or another, because there's a formula. It is shock and awe. Shock the parents. Make them support that decision right now. Your child is at risk right now. If you don't agree to this right now, your kid's going to go home and kill themselves, and it will be your fault. You will be at fault. It's time that we recognize something. The captured medical system is just another captured institution, just another thing we need to do to take all spirits captive, right? The Bible. Turn to the Bible. Check all spirits. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you. Appreciate you being part of the family here and part of the support system. We have an audience of one. That's the Lord, God Almighty. We seek not to please men or women. No offense. We seek to please God. And we're joined in that effort by people who are monthly donors to AFR, which you can do at AFR.net. People who listen to these programs, pass them on to friends. If you can afford it, become a monthly donor. There's a lot of benefits that come with that, including being able to stream any of these shows anytime you like, invitations, exclusive events, publications that you won't get elsewhere. Go to AFR.net to become a monthly donor. If you're already a monthly donor, we really appreciate you. Before we get to the Tower of Babel, there's a chart that's so, so instructive in terms of our governments and their focus. Show me your budget. I'll show you your priorities. So here's a chart that indicates a nationwide budget for schools, government schools. It goes from 2000 to 2021, and it indicates the growth in teachers and students, principals, principals and assistants, and administrative staff. So to begin, teachers and students have dropped. Of course, since 2019, they dropped 5%. But in 20 years in the government schools, there's been a 10% growth of teachers and students until 2019 when that dropped. There's a 10% growth of principals. They haven't dropped, even though fewer kids are going to the government schools. There's been a 39% increase in principals and assistant principals. There has been a 95% increase in staff at the schools. Show me your budget. I'll show you your priorities. Their budget indicates the priority is staff. Why? Because of the school unions, who take a percentage of every paycheck, pay themselves more money than teachers will ever see in their lives, and turn around and launder that money as donations to the Democrat Party. Utterly corrupt. It's theft, it's coveting, it's scheming. As frustrating as it is, given factors like that, on this program we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature cult, The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I've dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babel.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling is almost always three sound bites. The White House spokeslayer has had a tough job recently, and she's not been herself. She's actually slipped into telling some truth occasionally on accident. She did, though, get her talking points back, the lies back in her binder. She is speaking about the pardon of Hunter Biden, and she knows who's to blame.
Recently announced Trump appointees for law enforcement have said on the campaign that they were out for retribution, and I think we should believe their words, right? We should believe what they say. The sentencing was coming up, as you all know. There was a sentencing coming up, and the president said this in his statement, that Hunter and his family had been through enough. Enough is enough. And he wrestled with these circumstances, these changing circumstances, ultimately.
So they got the talking points together. The fact is, there is an administration coming in that's going to enforce the laws. If you'd like to call it retribution, go ahead. I don't consider President Trump my retribution, my revenge. Revenge belongs to God, period. But Hunter Biden is a criminal on a major level. And he has been pardoned. Do you think he's going to reoffend? How could he not? We need to pray for him to get the drugs off his back. And maybe one day to come out and tell the full truth about his family. What happened? Truly, what happened to he and Ashley? What did Joe do apart from marrying the babysitter? I mean, there's got to be a lot there. And I sincerely pray for them. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. The dictators of Canada have a plan on how to help Ukraine, the most important country in the world.
The government is adding a further 324 unique makes and models of assault-style firearms to the list of prohibited firearms in Canada. The government of Canada has committed to the Ukrainian government to identify whether some of these guns could be donated to support the fight for democracy in Ukraine.
The fight for democracy in a country where the dictator has consumed and banned media channels, banned certain faiths of worship. The democracy. Got it. Canada continues to demonstrate that it's fallen. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. An Advent sermon about the birth of Christ, featuring a UCC minister who has decided that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is a pro-choice icon.
And then this is the key phrase here. Let it be. Mary gets to choose, and Mary chooses to carry the Messiah. Mary says, let it be. In the story, which means that Mary is afforded a choice that so many people in our society today are no longer afforded.
Huh. Does he mean that? Well, no. In fact, no, he couldn't mean that because the Lord Jesus hadn't yet been implanted in her body. The baby had not yet begun to grow. At that point, it was a choice between her and God. There was no third person involved in that. No third human being. No matter how they stretch it and pervert it, one cannot remake the Word of God. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babel.
That was the Tower of Babel.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is. Yes.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I mentioned earlier that when I listened to the story of Clementine being the young woman who's suing the gender-jacking so-called doctor, Dr. Joanna Olson Kennedy, I see tens of thousands of girls. I see one in particular. She was a very close friend of our family. We met when we were going through the teen and adolescent mental health world. I see two pictures of her. I see one where this formerly very slim, very athletic, very feminine young woman was presenting as herself. A young girl who loved the sport of softball and basketball, who excelled at them, was on the way to a national level team on both of them. Even as a young kid, people identified this. She loved dogs, stuffed animals, and hair. She loved to do her hair in unique ways. Her room was filled with fairies and Harry Potter, and it was pink with flowers on the wall that she asked her dad to paint her on her 9th birthday. By the age of 12, she'd told her family that she was a boy. What they didn't learn until 2 years into teen and adolescence mental health, 1 year of that being in a lockup facility, was that on a softball trip, a coach had raped her and then explained to her that she caused it by being too close to him on the bus and on the plane. She caused it. She was going to cost him his marriage and his kids. And the least she could do is be his girlfriend. Age of 12. Yes, that man has faced charges. They didn't know that when their daughter presented as a boy. When she went into the adolescent treatment center where we met her, the lockup facility, she made a decision to eat. Now, she'd had a very slim and athletic body. She asked for permission to have her own food there when she got the freedom to do that. She earned that freedom. She went from a weight of about 120 very healthy pounds to 215 pounds. She did it on purpose. It was an effort to hide her body, an effort to be masculine by hiding the female curves. She had her hair cut into a crew cut. I have a picture of her that the family sent, and it was just prior to Christmas. They couldn't remain in California knowing that gender jackers like Joanna Olsen Kennedy live there and work there and prey upon kids there. So they took their daughter and they moved into the interior of the country, way into North Dakota, as far away from them as they could get. It cost her father $200,000 a year, leaving his job in Los Angeles because people couldn't afford what he did in North Dakota. It cost the family, friends, connections. And the picture is a side-by-side picture that I have, and I like to remember this. That girl before she was sexually assaulted, and that girl after treatment. Now, they saved her life. They gave her skills to deal with the reality that she had been raped by this coach. They gave her skills to deal with the anger and the confusion, to communicate better. That's this DBT, dialectic behavioral therapy, which is very, very, very useful. But when she came home, she still had that body weight. And her parents sent me this picture of her in their front room prior to Christmas, sullen, angry, poisoned face, unhappy, with her brothers and sisters all around her, looking very much like themselves. The world of Joanna Olsen Kennedy's said that that's your son. Be happy for your son, your obese son, your son who cannot smile, your son who has skills to deal with the abuse, but the world's still saying you're a boy. And then something happened. She went to school, and a kind boy, for some reason, took a liking to her. even kind of a romantic liking. And at one point, she said to him, when they were talking on the phone, downstairs, parents were responsible, made sure she was downstairs while talking to a boy. She said, well, I'm a boy and you need to use my pronouns. And he said, no, that's stupid. You're a girl. I'm not going to do that. She said, what? He said, that's stupid. You're a girl. I'm not going to pretend you're a boy. You're a girl. This was a bit of awakening for her. Someone she really liked, who was very kind to her, who out of all the kids at school had decided to extend this friendship for her, for even with the mask she put on, all the weight. For some reason, this boy was attracted to her. For some reason. Maybe her kindness, her intelligence, her curiosity, her creativity. This was a melting moment. God used that boy. She, upon reflection, realized that she'd always, always been a girl. She didn't tell her parents for a long time, about 6 months. She researched. She went and she researched transgenderism, the lies thereof. She researched how gender dysphoria used to be treated, how there used to be gatekeepers to keep kids away from irreversible decisions. She did the research, and then she announced to her family that she'd been conned. And she told them the story of a school counselor. She had shared with the school counselor the rape. She hadn't told her parents. The school counselor chose not to tell the parents. And yes, that school counselor has been brought up on charges. That is a must-report situation. Instead, the school counselor asked her if she was uncomfortable with her body. And that's where that young girl's delusion began. I have a third picture of her. She's back into that athletic form, that very feminine form, that very girlish form that I'd grown used to before this all happened to her, because I've seen many, many pictures of her. She's standing next to a young man, not the young man she met in school, the young man she married. She's there in a white dress with her hair done up just like she used to. The flowers, pink, just like the ones her father painted on her bedroom wall. Just exactly like that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides we can all speak again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This is Ben, a Disciples View.